I am glad to see everyone. I do hope everyone is doing well, and I hope that God's goodness is evident and shining through your life, through your words, and through your deeds. And I do pray that there's joy in your heart to be here with like-minded believers and celebrating our redemption in Christ. And as we look at His Word and what it means to be redeemed in Christ, and talking about the new year and how we should possibly structure our walk in life, I want to speak to you this morning in Psalms chapter 119. If you will, turn with me there, Psalm 119. And I'll begin reading in verse number 33. Please stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Father, for the hope that we have, the joy of life in you, that this day, whatever trouble we might see, we know is but a passing thing, but a moment and a life that is going to be filled in complete goodness with you, and even is in these days. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask for your strength and for your help. And Lord, every day for your forgiveness. Help us to honor you as you have honored us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you have ever heard somebody, in fact, Susie mentioned something a little bit about that this morning in her Sunday school class. You know, people talk about winning the lottery. Lord, if I win the lottery, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Have you ever heard anybody say, Lord, if I win the lottery, I'm going to build a homeless shelter? Or I'm going to do something to help all the poor people in our community. I'm going to do everything I can to help somebody with the money that I get from the lottery. You ever heard anybody say that? Have you ever heard anybody say, have you ever said yourself to God, Lord, help me, and if you do this for me, I promise that I will follow you the rest of my life in every way that you require of me. Have you ever said that? Amen. You know, when you come to Christ and find forgiveness for sins and you are redeemed through His blood, you are not just saying, God, save me. You're saying, God, change me. There's no fine print that we have to read. It's all right here. It's written in the same font for everybody. Whatever Bible you have, you can find the same words that tell us the same things. It's not just about being saved. It's about being who God wants us to be. It's about living a life that is righteous in His eyes. It's about living a life that displays His goodness in the eyes of those around us. It is about being a changed person. New every day. And if we want to make a promise to God, God, save me, and I promise I'll follow you the rest of my life. I'll just honor you in everything I do. We need to understand God takes us serious when we come to Him, when we ask of Him. And I wonder what He thinks when we get on our path and our journey with God, and He's been good to us, and He's helped us in many ways, and we get to a certain point in life, and then we say, you know, God, I just don't understand this. I'm not I can't get in line with this, Lord. I wonder what it is for us individually that makes us think God's being too rigid now for us to follow Him and to accommodate His Word and His will in our life. What is it in this world that we think God needs to change His opinion about? Because when I ask you this question, I'm asking you, what sin do you think God ought to just look past and say it's okay? Because isn't it sin in the lives of those that we love or even in our own life that causes us to say to God, you know, this is just too hard. I can't do this. It's too rigid. I can't accept this. It's not fair. I can't hold on to this anymore. God is rigid, isn't He? God is righteous. And God doesn't make excuses for who He is. I wouldn't dare ask Him for one. I wouldn't recommend that anyone ask Him to change His opinion about sin. Because then you're asking Him to change His opinion about you. Because who among us is without sin? And so we have to be careful with our life. And if we want to really follow God, we have to ask God to lead us in His ways. And if we say we will keep it to the end, don't just be flippant about that. And don't just think that when you ask for God's forgiveness and God's redemption and God's renewal, that you aren't asking for that, because you are. God says, I'm coming into your life to change you. Because you recognize that you need to be changed. A renewal of your mind. It's not just our heart that's being reborn. It's our soul that's being reborn. It's our mind that's being reborn. It is all of us that is being reborn and dedicated to that which is godly. And not worldly. And the psalmist is giving us an outline of this. Hear the words that he says. He says, teach me the way of your statutes. Lord, I want to know about your testimonies. I want to know about your laws. I want to know about everything that you provide, your instructions on how I should live in this world. That's what we're asking God to teach us. And if you teach me, God, I will go all the way in your word, in your will, and I will honor you. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. God, I'm your man. God, I'm your woman. God, I'm the person you're looking for. If you can count on anybody, God, it's me. And then what? And I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody, because how many of us in life have failed being what God wants us to be? Life is hard, isn't it? God tells us through everything that He shows us in His Word and in this world that we live in, life is hard. But I'm with you. I will be with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I will be with you. Teach me your ways, God, and I'll keep it to the bitter end. You know, the spirit is willing, right? But the flesh is weak. And isn't that where the battle is, the spirit and the flesh? And God trying to have His way in us through the spirit and the flesh saying, well, you know, I'm just not going to go with that today. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be me. What a price to pay, right? Whether we hurt others or not, we always hurt ourselves. We hurt our relationship with the one who gave us His life so that our life could be greater. It's like we don't even know that when we come to follow God that there's going to be problems in life. And we ought to know. Jesus has told us. He says, the world will hate you for my name's sake. Isn't that what He says? And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. God already tells us up front. When you cry out to God, say, God, teach me your words and I will follow you to the bitter end. Don't make a promise to God you don't intend to keep. Be honest with God. Don't just make it a moment of honesty. Make it a life of honesty. Every day. And stand before Him and say, I failed. Stand before Him and say, I'm broken in this way. And I need restoration. And God is faithful to help. He will put people in your life that will help. Like-minded believers who will do all they can to help. And His Spirit is always with us to guide us and to teach us. And we should step out knowing that everybody in the world who sees God in us and they don't have Him in their heart, they're going to hate us. They're going to hate us. Is there any other way to say that? You know, I know, how many of you know it's not politically correct to say I hate something? I'm going to tell you what, God says I hate sin. He hates sin in all of its existence, in all of the world, in all of us, completely and thoroughly through. God hates sin that is in us. And He's working to help us purge that through and out so we can be like Him. I wish I could be like Jesus in every way. I wish I could be, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to fail. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to fail. But that doesn't mean we stop trying. We turn right back around and ask this again, God, lead me in Your ways. Teach me Your statutes, all of Your instructions. If I have forgotten, Lord, remind me again, because you know we do forget. I'm to the point now I can recognize and speak on common ground with a lot of you in here. You walk in one room for something and then you have to go back to the other room you were in to remember what you went into that one to get, right? And then, guys, you get in there and you're looking for it. You can't find it. It's because your wife laid something on top of it, right? And then they tell you, well, you moved it. And they go uncover it and bring it to you. See, it was right there the whole time. I love having that in life, in my life, right? That's one of the things that makes life enjoyable. I tell you what really makes life worth living is God. Amen. And knowing all of the goodness that He has given us. And provided for us. And that even when times are hard, He is there with us to give us joy and laughter and a song. Hope for what's coming, not just for me, but for my neighbor. I have hope for you. I have joy for you. If you know Christ, I know you haven't seen all of the good that's coming your way. But if you're dishonoring Christ, I'm pleading with you. Stop and get back on this path that God is calling us to walk. Listen to what He says in verse 34. He says, give me understanding and I shall keep Your law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. If you can't figure out what it is that you got wrong, but you know something is wrong, then ask God for wisdom and understanding. Because God will give wisdom and understanding if you are truly seeking to know. In fact, it says in James 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you don't know how to fix it, if you don't know how it got broke, if you don't know what's broke, if you just don't understand what it is God wants you to do, ask Him to help show you, to guide you, to give you the wisdom and the understanding. You know, a lot of times when we have sin in our own lives, it's because we want it there. And we don't have the wisdom to see or understand that we're being rebellious against God. We can't find it in our heart to repent because it's not me. Or I just don't agree with what God says needs to be done. Who's at fault? Is it God's fault or our fault? Who needs the understanding? Does God need to understand us, or do we need to understand God? Because that's what we're asking for up front. God, help me understand you. God, show me your statutes. Show me your instructions. Show me and let me hear your testimonies. I'm not going to stand before God and brag about who I am. I get in the presence of God, I need to fall on my knees and say, God, forgive me. And thank you for allowing me in your presence. Because he is a holy and a righteous God. Don't take that away from him. He's not just the good man upstairs. He's not just the big man upstairs. He is the author of life and of liberty. He is the author of morality and the laws of what is right and what is wrong. Don't argue with him about what is right and wrong. He's already told us. Yield to him and be what he wants you to be and live how he calls you to live. It's not going to be easy, and the world will hate you. I'm used to being hated though. Amen. How many of us in here are used to being hated? Huh? Just me? Anybody ever make fun of your last name when you were in school? Man, I'm the only one that ever had a hard life in here. I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. Life is hard. Let me tell you how life is hard, even with God in our life. You know, Jesus talks about the birds and how they don't worry for anything. Be like the birds. Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. They don't worry. I mean, they fly around. They flutter around in the trees, and they catch all the bugs you won't caught, mostly. A lot of no-see-ums I wish they could still get a hold of, right? They eat every day. It just seems so lovely to see these birds having such a wonderful life. But do you know? Do you know they have trouble in their lives too? It's not rainbows and butterflies for them either. How many of you have ever heard birds just going crazy because a snake is around the nest? Or a predator is in the area? Even the birds face life. And yet God provides. They don't build homes like we do. They don't build gardens like we do. God provides all of that, doesn't he? Is he going to care any less about us? I mean, God sent his son to save me from sin. He didn't send his son to save birds from sin. He still cares for them like that. How much more does he care about me if he gave his son so I could be free from sin? And if I have accepted that and called out for forgiveness and said, God, teach me, then why can't I be honest and be what I promised him I would be? Why can't I do what God asks me to do? Why can't I say what God wants me to say? Why can't I be through and through everything God calls me to be? I don't understand. Will God give me understanding and wisdom? Not that I should just know what your will is, but that I can understand how it impacts my life and those around me. Because when God impacts your life, you're going to impact those around you. You can't help it. You've got to. Because God is going to be known. He's going to be known. And I want him to use me so that people can know who he is. Otherwise, I'm saying to the world, oh, I know there's a Jesus, but it really doesn't matter. But it does, doesn't it? Doesn't Jesus matter? psalmist says in verse 35, make me, Lord, make me walk in the path of your commandments. And how many of you know what the commandments are? I mean, when we began to talk about the Ten Commandments, we have everything that is consolidated right there for us to understand the overall picture of what God is trying to teach us in living a life for Him. And it begins by loving the Lord our God, right? There is no other God before us. There's only one. It begins with God. The first four commandments are about our relationship with God. I love this. I tell you this a lot, don't I? The fifth one is about honoring our mothers and our fathers, right? It's about the family relationship. And then 6 through 10 are about our relationships with our neighbor. And in all 10 of those commandments, God tells us what we should give, not what we should expect others to give back. Not a single one of those commandments tells us we should expect any one of those participants to give anything back. Not God Himself, not our parents, and not our neighbors. Just what we should do. Just what we should do. And this is Jesus tested too, by the way. You remember when He was tested? And they asked Him, He said, what is the greatest of all the commandments? Because isn't that the way we are? Isn't that how we think? God, I can't keep them all, but if I can keep just one, which one you want me to keep? You ever feel like that? I'm gonna close my eyes a minute. Y'all can raise your hands, okay? Which one, God, would be the one that you want me to follow? If I gotta pick one, God. Jesus tested. You know what He said. The greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it. Love your favorite restaurant more than anybody else. That's not what He said, is it? To love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love God, love your neighbor. Maybe that's where we go wrong. Many of us don't like ourselves too much sometimes. Is sin in our life bearing us down so much that we don't like ourselves and so we take it out on our neighbors? Whether it's our spouse, our children, a family member, our neighbor, a best friend. What is it? It causes us to break down. Ultimately, I think we would find that the seed of the problem was within ourselves to begin with. Me. Those are the commandments that we should follow. Make me walk in your commandments. Lord, make me. Y'all ever tried to make your children do anything? And the rebellion that you had to deal with? Do you realize that when God tries to make us walk in those same commandments, He is seeing the same rebellion in us when we resist as we see from our kids when they resist? And how much fun is that for us? And how much fun is that for God? Every day, multiplied by whatever number, 100, 1,000, 100,000. How many people are in this world? And I'm not counting the ones that aren't seeking God. I'm just talking about the ones that are. God, I'm just not going to do that. You don't know what they did to me. God, I can't like that person. God, they're living in sin. I can't have anything to do with them. God, do you see where they grew up at and what they're trying to do for me and to me? God! And I share this. One of the hardest things I ever heard. We had someone that visited our church, and I don't remember their names. I wouldn't call their name if I did. And they had a child that was sick and died. And they stood in conversation and said this very thing. All these people that are living in sin, why couldn't God take them and let my daughter live? Where's the heart of God in that? Where's the heart of loving your neighbor in that statement? Where's the heart of loving God in that statement? And why would we expect anyone to be better off dead than my own child who has found Christ? And if they found Christ and they've gone on to eternity, they have no more worries and no more pains and no more concerns. But these people living in sin, when they die, they're going to hell for eternity. It is damnation. And we would rather someone to be damned for their whole eternal life than to lose our own child. Because they deserve it and my child doesn't. Where did we ever learn to be that kind of Christian? Where did we ever learn to be that kind of Christian? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. If you did that, then you couldn't look at your neighbor and say, I wish you were dead. You couldn't do it. You couldn't look at them and say, you're not worthy to be in my presence. You couldn't do it. You couldn't look at them and say, don't you have somebody of your own kind to help you? You couldn't do it. If you did, you couldn't listen to the testimonies of Christ. And that's the very next thing that the psalmist is asking for. Incline my heart to your testimonies. And not to covetousness. Cause me, Lord, to long for you. Cause me to hear of your goodness, the testimonies of your goodness in the lives of people. Do you know where testimonies come from? They come from the lives of people who've been lost, who've been living lives of sin, who have recognized their need for forgiveness in Christ and Christ alone, and have bowed before Him and found renewal in their spirit and in their hearts. There's hope. And yet, hope is crushed because of where they came from in the eyes of others. How do we listen to the testimonies of God and learn to crush the hopes of God in the life of another? Incline my heart to your testimonies. Cause me to long for you, because you are my strength, and you are my shield, and you are my provider, and you are the rock on which I stand. And the waves are crashing against the base of these rocks. But Lord, I can reach as many as you let me reach. Help me. Help me to extend my hand so they can find safety in you upon this rock that is Jesus. Isn't that what God has called us to be and called us to do? Not to be filled with covetousness, to look for people of station because we have a common point of reference or common ideals or common things in our life that set us apart from others who don't. You know, it's not because we are blessed and they aren't. That's not what it is. Because those who have and those who don't have, you want to see what Jesus thinks about that. Read in Luke, and he talks about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And how he calls Lazarus by name, but you never hear the name of the rich man. And then you begin to understand because you read in Revelation in the third church, he says, those who endure, I will call your name before my Father and his angels, and they will lift you into his bosom, into heaven. And when you read the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, you see that Lazarus is called by name and the angels carried him up to Abraham's bosom. But with rich man, it just says simply this. I love his short verse. He died. He died. And then he's begging for a drop of water. No angels carried him anywhere. No name was called out. We don't know his name. Jesus wouldn't give his name. It's not just a parable. This is real life. I'm telling you, this is real. And Jesus makes it real for us even more by showing us. Even in this parable, he wouldn't call his name, because to call his name would be to recognize him before God and before his angels. You want to know if eternal damnation is permanent? Then look no further than that parable in Luke. Because once eternity is set, it's finished. It's done. And we don't want to live our life filled with covetousness and just seeking to have people in our lives like ourselves. We are seeking the lost. Jesus didn't come for those who are well. He came for those who are sick. He came for those who are sick. And he sent us to find them. Sending us to find them. If I'm going to walk in the ways that he teaches, if I'm going to have the understanding and the wisdom that I'm asking for, I'm going to know that God is sending us, sending me. If I want to walk in the path of his commandments, then I'm going to know what it means to love God and family and neighbor. And I'm going to, in my journeys, incline my ears to the testimonies of those who find Christ and the goodness of life changed. Do you know how wonderful it is to hear someone tell you how happy they are that Christ has saved them? It's a wonderful thing to hear the testimonies of people. I got a little story I want to tell you, but I'm going to close with this. I had an opportunity to do a mission trip to Romania. Most amazing thing. When I was in the Navy, I went to Romania back in the 80s. Still Soviet owned. We were the first ship to pull into that Romanian port since World War II. We got liberty. Y'all know what liberty is? It means we got to go out in town. But we had to go in pairs. And everywhere we went, there were soldier troops following us, armed rifles. I walked around through this place, Constanța, Romania. It was poor. It was broke. It was almost desolate. I went into a mall. They had three or four floors, escalators that go up, and you walk in, and this is the floor that had the kitchen stuff, you know, refrigerators and stoves and dishwashers and dishes, and you get up on the floor, and there's two refrigerators. Whole floor is empty. Two refrigerators. Another piece of something sitting over here. Nobody walking around up in the malls. Floors were just barren. Barely anything in this mall at all. People living poor. Walked into some shops on the streets to look at glasswares and stuff. Because I used to love to find crystal glasses and stuff and have a memory of being there. Beautiful. Walked into this shop and had some beautiful blue crystal cups. There was somebody following us and starting to have conversation with us because... they didn't want us just running free through there. And I walked in the door, and the lady at the counter, she just smiled at me, and because she knew I was American, I was fixing to spend some money. This guy stepped out from behind me, and she backed up, dropped her head, wouldn't even look up, wouldn't even speak. That's what I remembered of that place. And before we left, we had people at the pier begging us to throw our blue jeans. They would throw us $75 if we just throw our blue jeans over the side and let them have blue jeans. Of course, we had people watching for that kind of stuff. We couldn't do any of that. And we stayed a few days, almost a week. When we left, I said, Lord, you're missing from this place. And I pray that your word can come and live in the lives of these people who need to know you. I moved to Florida in 2003, and in 2004 I was at First Baptist Milton as an assistant to the pastor, and somebody there, they had a group that was called Romanian American Missions, and he came to me and he says, how would you like to go? I thought, wow, yeah, I'd love to go. And of course, I couldn't pay for that. The church had to help me do that. And so here it is, you know, 1983, I'm in Romania, and now it's 2003 or 2005. And God's given me a chance to go back. And guess where we went? Constanța, Romania. Got to go right back where I was. And God's word was beginning to grow, and people were alive, and there were things that were happening. And it was wonderful to see this. And I'm getting all of this in to tell you, I was sitting there sharing the gospel, because you want to hear how wonderful it is to see somebody receive it. I'm sharing the gospel. I've got a translator. It's a young kid. You know, teenagers too, by the way. My goodness. We need to do something with teenagers, don't we? And so I'm sharing the gospel, and this teenager's repeating back in Romania. The spirit wasn't right. I don't speak Romanian. I'm trusting, but it wasn't right. And I asked the kid, I said, so what are you telling them? He says, oh, I'm explaining. I said, no, I don't want you to explain. I want you to tell them word for word as best you can, translate. I don't want you to add anything else. Well, they won't understand. It's just not for you to decide if they will understand. God's Spirit gives understanding. Well, I don't know if I can do it. I said, if you can't do it the way I'm asking you, then get somebody else in here to help me. He said, okay, I'll try. 16-year-old, hard-headed young man. Loved the Lord, though. He wanted to do everything he could. He just thought he knew the better way to do it. Sometimes we all like that, aren't we? Had to stop and start over. And I'm sharing the gospel, and it's two sisters. And they lean forward on their knees, and they grab each other's hands, sitting there side by side, shoulder to shoulder. And I'm going through the gospel and how Christ loves them, how he gave his life for them, and what would stop them from finding forgiveness of sins right now. And they were starting to cry as this guy was explaining it. And then I stopped and I looked at them, and they were just staring at me like, what are you doing? I said, would you like to pray for Christ to forgive you of sins and to give you hope for eternity right now? And they jumped up with joy. And you know what they said? We didn't think you were ever going to ask us. We didn't think you were going to ask. And they were just weeping and filled with joy that they were asked to pray for forgiveness of sins, that I would help them in a prayer for forgiveness of sins. And do you know how wonderful that was for me to see these ladies weeping and praying and hugging me? Do you know how wonderful it would be for those around us still to hear them say, I didn't think you were going to ask? Because many of them don't think we will ask. And I'm telling you, if we are going to follow God, if we are going to ask him to show us His ways, to teach us His laws, to make us to walk in the path of the commandments, and to give us opportunity to hear testimonies. Then you have to have a heart dedicated to being what God wants you to be. It's not about hearing people come at the front of the church and getting baptized and giving a testimony. It's more than that. It's people in the community saying, you know what? They loved me there. They helped me there. I saw Jesus there. If you want to make a resolution for this new year, I'm pleading with you to start right here where this psalmist has given us direction. If you want to be Christ-like, then understand what it means. Understand that it's going to be hard, but know that God is with you. Don't covet the things of the world, but covet the ones who are lost in the world, and the opportunity to share Jesus with them. These are the things God is asking of His people and of His church, so that in that day, our name will be called and the angels will lift us into the presence of our Savior. You get a chance to meet Lazarus. You won't see the rich man unless you went to the wrong place. How many of you know Jesus as Lord and Savior today? And how many of you celebrate that? I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. And I can't wait to tell somebody about it. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior today, why not? You can come right now. If you feel like you're the only one here and everybody's going to be looking at you, they're not going to be looking at you in the ways of the world. They're going to be looking at you with joy that you saw and understood and came to find peace and happiness. It's about joy. We will celebrate if you come. And I invite you to come. But I also invite you to come if you just need to find revival in His words, in His Spirit, and in the hope that comes in knowing His salvation. Will you come while the altar is open? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for loving me, for saving me. Father, for this time that You have given to share of Your goodness. I pray, Father, all of us are strengthened and inspired by You and by Your joy that fills us. Lord, help us to be Your people and to honor You. And I pray, Father, now, use this time to Your glory. We give it to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.